Good morning. On behalf of Nader for President 2004, I'd like to thank you all for coming. Mr. Nader is going to make a statement, and then we'll take questions and answers, at which time we'd like you to identify yourself. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today I entered the 2004 elections as an independent candidate for the presidency of the United States to join with all Americans who wish to declare their independence from corporate rule and its domination. The exercise sovereignty of the people in our history has brought forth solutions to the people, the justice they craved, and the futures they desired for their children. In times past, the naysayers were organized commercial powers whose unbridled greed and authoritarian structures were denounced by Jefferson, Jackson, Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, Wilson, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt in quite memorable statements. It took a strengthened populace against the malefactors of great wealth to overcome these corporate naysayers and abolish slavery, open the vote to women, the unions to workers, the cooperatives to farmers, to temper the large mine owners, industrialists, railroads, and bankers. In this manner, American history surged forward and upward. Today, there is a compelling necessity for a new strengthening of the people to reform and recover their public elections from the grip of private financing, to rescue our public authorities from the corporate government of big business that prevails today in Washington, D.C. These mass concentrations of power, privilege, wealth, technology, and corporate immunity have placed their rampaging global quest for maximum profits in the way of progress, justice, and opportunity for the very millions of American workers who made possible these corporate profits, but who are falling behind, both excluded and expendable. Their labors have gone unrequited as these unpatriotic corporations abandon our country and shift industries abroad, along with what is left of their allegiance to our country and our community. The dreaded supremacy of corporatism over civil institutions, stomping both conservative and liberal values alike, has broken through any remaining barriers by the two major political parties, the two-party duopolies. Corporatism has turned federal and state departments and agencies into indentured servants for taxpayer-funded subsidies, budget-busting contracts of great lucrative scope, and dwindling law and order against the widely publicized corporate crime wave. This resistant corporate crime wave has looted and drained trillions of dollars from millions of workers, their pensions, and from small investors. There has been ample media publicity and documentation of such crimes, abuses, and frauds, of these unprecedented self-enrichments of top executives at the expense of their fiduciary duties to both their own companies and their shareholder owners. Has the president supplied the required law enforcement resources for action? Scarcely. He is, as in so many other domestic matters, otherwise preoccupied. Very few of these corporate bosses have been brought to justice and jail. Lincoln's new birth of freedom and government of the people, by the people, for the people, in his memorable Gettysburg Address, must indeed not perish from this land. Only an organized, self-confident people, lifting their expectation levels and applying their time, energy, and talent, can achieve Lincoln's foreshadowed horizons, where freedom from fear, shift of power, and just solutions can become realities in everyday life for Americans. Comparing the Republican Lincoln's assurance in a period of great peril and daily destruction in those years in the 1860s, contrast with the costly politics of fear peddled daily by the obsessive Republican incumbent of today, George W. Bush, playing politics with national security. Elections should place aspirations in motion. Only in this way will they have meaning for people's lives. Movements for change come from more voices and choices, more debates and proposals, more organizing, and more respect for the voters in the electoral arena, so they have a broader opportunity to vote for whom they choose to vote for. At the same time, there ought to be higher levels of responsibility by voters themselves for their own governments. The civil liberties and their exercise by a pluralistic, not a duopolistic system of political parties and candidates regenerate, reanimate a passive electorate accustomed to betrayal and in large numbers not even voting. Movements for change also come from the perceived neglected necessities of the American people in a land of skewed plenty, where the rich have so much and the rest of America is denied the just rewards for their labors. These movements embrace a long overdue abolition of cruel poverty in America, the provision of genuine, efficient, honest health care, the illumination of civically inspired education, and the shift in the burden and uses of taxes away from corporate plunder, corporate tax havens, and cost transfers to individual taxpayers. Taxpayers always end up with the bill for this corporate plunder and corporate tax escapes. These initiatives for change embrace the conversion as well to breathable air and clean water, renewable energy, detoxified agriculture, decongesting transportation technologies on the highway and in plans and in public transit, the affordability of decent shelter, and the enabling of workers, consumers, and communities to organize and shape their own political economy. We need more organization among these constituencies. Presently, global corporations are bent on strategically planning our future, our politics, our economy, our military expenditures, our education, our environment, our culture, even our genetic inheritance. They're all subject to corporate strategic planning. Is it not our responsibility together, as individuals, as real people, to shape our futures within our own deliberative democratic process? In terms of outcomes, the corporate planning or planning by the people, which one would you choose? The Roman Marcus Cicero once said that, quote, freedom is participation in power, end quote. And more recently, Thomas Jefferson called for more, quote, participators, end quote, in our political process. Accountable power spells justice for the users of the criminal and civil laws, for the conduct of our foreign policies, that should brilliantly wage peace, not fabricated quagmire wars. We need to lend the hand of appropriate life-sustaining knowledge and humanity to the impoverished peoples of the earth. We need a people's science and technology, not a corporate politicized science and technology. No more should our government support tyrants and oligarchies which wreak havoc and violence on their defenseless subjects, the workers, the peasants, and others. and suppress their creative genius in the third world. This independent candidacy invites citizens who want to work for and demonstrate thoughtful politics that fulfill human possibilities, citizens to assemble together, all ages, classes, and backgrounds. We have a moral imperative to take a stand to help rescue our besieged democracy and secure our country and its liberties. We need to restore the sovereignty explicit in the preamble to our Constitution. We, the people, not for sale, can decide to displace the corporate controls that try to make everything for sale. Signs on agencies and departments in Washington and all too many offices in Congress, for sale. The condition of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is that the people must rule, not as a manipulated mirage, but as an authentic coming together of a strong citizenry, from the neighborhoods to the national capital, to end the chronic material and spiritual deprivations that our people should no longer have to suffer. Mass poverty is expanding in our country. Our campaign, in novel, serious, and lighthearted ways, means to advance the procession of well-being along through all the states and to galvanize civic and political energies long beyond November 2004. The unceasing enlightenment of humankind requires sensitive humans to enlist in a marathon, not a sprint. May there be a decent tolerance for the release of these creative individual and community energies inside an electoral system sadly known more for its straitjackets than for its wings, more for its routines than its aspirations. The focus on the fundamental requirement for broader distribution of power, initiative, and opportunity to forge a resourceful society should be the touchstone of this election year and its campaigns. We owe at least the prospect of possibilities to the generations that follow us. We owe the same to the young people of America as they ponder and prepare for their leadership obligations. This campaign will reach out to the young people and to all people who wish to volunteer for our efforts in 50 states, who wish to contribute to our efforts in 50 states, who wish to highlight their own creative solutions in community after community that are almost never highlighted by political campaigns, who wish to communicate to us at our website, votenator.org. I urge the liberal establishment to relax and rejoice. This is a campaign that strives to displace the present corporate regime of the Bush administration. This is a campaign that will have many purposes and many functions in a political system that's rigged from beginning to end, from state access barriers to exclusionary debates against third parties and independent candidates whose hopes and rights we hope to carry throughout these campaigns at the national, state, and local level. This campaign can also be a trim tab factor, turning the rudder of these giant political parties toward a more dedicated concern for government of, by, and for the people. We hope to discuss the military budget, which is bloated, wasteful, redundant, repeatedly exposed in the mass media, repeatedly criticized by retired Army, Navy, and Air Force generals and General Accounting Office reports. We hope to show that increasingly corporations are trampling conservative values as we notice increasing conservative fury with the Bush administration on matters such as massive useless deficits due to wealthy tax cuts, on matters due to the Big Brother, Patriot Act, corporate subsidies to major corporations paid for by taxpayers, on matters involving NAFTA and the WTO, undermining our nation's sovereignty at all three levels of government, on matters of promise by the Bush administration to do something regarding corporate pornography and violence beamed to children at a very impressionable age, undermining parental authority. We mean to focus on many local issues as well, which most presidential candidates dutifully ignore. Local issues like what's going on in South Central Los Angeles, what's going on in Weirton, West Virginia, what's going on in Anniston, Alabama, what's going on among our forests and among our littoral shores, what's going on in terms of the stratosphere and global warming, what's going on in terms of what's going on in our great oceans and streams and rivers and lakes. We mean to initiate a liberation movement for the Democratic Party, whose liberals have allowed it to slip away year after year since about 1980 into the hands of corporate interests, too often bought and sold, dialing for dollars. We hope to break the grip of the Commission on Presidential Debates, a cynical canard against the right of the American people to hear more voices and choices, and elevate publicity for the Citizens Debate Commission that has now been formed, a truly nonprofit institution controlled by no candidates and no parties. We hope to highlight Bush's war on the Bill of Rights and on civil liberties, and on the egregious stereotyping and violations of due process to people of minority status, recent immigrants or long-time immigrants bearing the brunt of the violations of our civil liberties, especially Muslim Americans and Arab Americans. We hope also to focus on the assets of America, where there are solutions for almost all our major widespread problems, working in one town and community after another, but not having an engine of diffusion behind them. That's what politics and elections should be about. Our country has so many problems it doesn't deserve, and in so many solutions it doesn't apply. We hope to show that jobs can be kept here in the United States, good-paying local jobs, by a massive Repair America campaign, a public works or infrastructure mission by the federal government, paid for by a repeal of those taxes for the wealthy, which the Democrats opposed but didn't bother to stop when they could have in the U.S. Senate. And finally, we hope to sensitize the media to the growing desertion of corporations from the country where they were born, the country where they were raised to the heights of their profit and power on the backs of workers, on the backs of taxpayers who were asked to subsidize them, on the backs of American military forces who were asked to rescue them when they got our country and themselves in trouble, cutting deals with dictators around the world. Finally, I'd like to make a personal statement to Terry McAuliffe, John Kerry, John Edwards, Al Sharpton, and ex-Governor Dean. Relax. Rejoice that you have another front carrying the ancient but unfulfilled pretensions and aspirations of the Democratic Party. Do not deny millions of voters the opportunity to vote for this candidacy. Everyone should have a chance. Everyone should argue on the merits, not on the money. I also urge you, when you analyze this political campaign of 2004, to at least have the sophistication that is revealed by sports fans when they analyze their sports teams. Look at the dynamics before Election Day. Focus on what is being done. Analyze carefully the polls in 2000 before you start scapegoating the Greens for an election that Al Gore won but had stolen from him and had Democratic Party blunders failed to rescue it in Florida. And lastly, please try to extend some of the finest rhetoric of John Kerry and John Edwards on the overwhelming dominance of corporate party, corporate power in our country, and on the need to reassert popular sovereignty, the sovereignty of the people, over the sovereignty of giant business, the sovereignty of real people over the sovereignty of artificial entities called corporations. For those of you who want more evidence about the statements made in this few moments, I not only urge you to contact our website, votenator.org, I urge you to read back issues of Barron's Financial Weekly, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the Dallas Morning News, the Boston Globe, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the San Francisco Examiner, the Los Angeles Times, Reuters, AP, and many other wire services for constant documentation of these corporate crimes, abuses of power across the entire continuum of our political economy. I have read these news reports. I have watched Dateline. I have watched 60 Minutes. And I take them all seriously. They all add up to something, don't they? Something larger than their parts. They add up to a massive challenge to our democracy, to our systems of justice, to our civil liberties and our civil rights, and to the ability of people to pursue liberty, justice, and happiness. Thank you. Thank you.